This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm John Gatto. Wisconsin Democratic State Senator Kathleen Vinehout was first elected to serve the 31st Senate District in the fall of 2006. In her bid for re-election this year, she'll be facing one of two Republican challengers, who we'll hear from shortly. The 31st District covers all or parts of six western Wisconsin counties, including Buffalo, Trempealeau, and Jackson, all just north of La Crosse, plus Pierce, Pepin, and Eau Claire. Cities included in the district include Black River Falls, Arcadia, Galesville, Fountain City, Alma, and Eau Claire. Two Republicans are running in the August 12th primary election. The winner will face Vinehout in November's general election. Bill Ingram of Durand is a retired police officer and a member of the Pepin County Board of Supervisors. Mel Pittman of Plum City is a dairy farmer and past member of the Pierce County Board of Supervisors. They participated in a broadcast forum recorded earlier this week in Wisconsin Public Radio's Eau Claire studios, including listener questions. Please note, because this was recorded earlier this week, no new calls can be accepted. The forum's moderator is WPR's Rich Kramer.
So first, a bit of why the legislature, why you? And I'll start with you, Mel Pittman.
Well, Rich, I'm a family man. I have three children and two grandchildren. I'm also a dairy farmer. I've been doing that for 38 years. And we focus on producing high-quality milk. It's good for our business, and it's also good for consumers. But in addition to that, my steering committee, when we organized in this past winter, they said, what's one thing that stands out about Mel Pittman? And they said, common sense. He's a person that listens well, thinks the issues through clearly, and makes good decisions. And my focus has always been on quality and efficiency. It doesn't matter if it's running a business or if we're working in a government-level job. And so with that type of background, I think I'd make a good candidate. And people also notice that about me because they've stepped up and they've asked me if I was interested in running for this position.
So running because you were asked and because you thought you fit the job, or was there any one specific thing that kind of said, you know what, they need my help down there?
Well, along the way, it's good to have people that have abilities to step up and serve, and that's a lot of the reason why I'm doing this. Okay. I think I have the ability and I have the qualities that are needed to do a better job serving this area, the state of Wisconsin, than our current incumbent.
Gotcha. Bill Ingram, what about you? What got you interested in running for Kathleen Vinehout's Senate seat?
Well, first of all, you said we only have an hour or so. There's so much messed up that we don't actually have the time. But that's really it. There's so many problems that are wrong. And a lot of it is just the red tape within the organization. Mm-hmm. And it's the way that the government is being run lately. I mean, I'm on the Pepin County Board. We have issues there. But a lot of the issues that we have on the county board, we can deal with as elected officials. However, the state government and the federal government like to use this term smaller government. So they've been outsourcing a lot of these things to private companies. Now, on the county level, if there's an issue with something, we can get together as the board. We can make a vote. We can solve that. However, if you got a private company that's underneath a department, that's underneath a committee, that's underneath the electric body, and they do something that company holds up their little contract and says, yes, I can do it this way, and there's nothing you can do about it. And that's kind of how the Air Force a few years ago were paying $300 for hammers, $1,500 for toilet seats. And that's just the start. I mean, we could go on and on and on of examples of red tape. So,
all right. Well, these red tape cutter, I guess. We do only have an hour, and it tends to be a very constrained time frame to get through all the issues that we'd like to, and also we're definitely not going to be able to learn everything about it, but hopefully give folks a basic idea of what you guys are all about. As far as one of the big issues locally, there's no state senate district in the state where frac sand mining has been more prolific than the 31st. Residents, you know, are split. There's tensions that get high whenever a new frac sand mining operation is proposed. During the last two sessions of the legislature, Republican Senator Tom Tiffany, who doesn't live in our region, he's more on the eastern side of the state or away from the frac sand mining itself, he proposed restricting the ability of local governments to regulate certain things like hours of operations at a mine, noise, property value, guarantees, etc. Bill Ingram, do you think those sorts of regulations should be handled by the state.
Absolutely not.
Why not?
Actually, what he wanted to do was take away the police powers from the county government.
Right.
And that would have – it wouldn't be just frac sand mining. That would be our ability to control a nuclear waste dump or a hazardous waste facility coming in here or anything else that the – group in Madison had got together and decided that we don't want this in Milwaukee, but we got a lot of votes, so we're going to send it up to this huge district up here that's got over eight counties in it that really doesn't have much representation as far as area-wise, and we can just get dumped on over and over and over if we don't maintain our Police Powers Act. So I'm very, very much in we got to keep it local. We got to even down to the township level on how to decide how they're going to handle it. I mean, even within the counties, as you travel through the counties or through this district, you get certain townships where the people in that township want to put in a small mine with a wash plant and do everything themselves, and they'll just have a few trucks of the cleaned up sand leaving their area every so often. But you have other places that's just absolutely no, we don't want it. And I don't think, even on the county board, that me as a representative of Wabeek, which is at the north side of the county, should be voting on their frac sand issues that the townships are dealing with down around Pepin and in the Bluffs area. Much less, I don't think Madison ought to have their hands in what we're doing up here.
Mel Pittman, your thoughts as far as the things that are now under what are called police powers, the hours of operation, should that be handled by the state? Even one of the arguments made for introducing those bills was that, you know, some towns can be kind of overtaken by people who are opposed just to be opposed to the mining, that they could abuse that power. What are your thoughts?
Well, I believe it's just like Bill.
Mm-hmm.
Local control is the best way to handle it. The people that are living in those areas are the ones that have to live with the results of what happens with the sand mining issue. So I think that's a key point is the local control. But I believe there's also some other things that need to be looked at. We do have people that own property, and their property rights are important.
Mm-hmm.
The highway issues are important, whether it's a state or federal highway. Limiting local governments don't have the ability to limit traffic on those. And I think that's something that we all need to be aware of as we move forward in the sand mining industry. But the other part of this whole sand mining industry is I think we can find a balance. We can find a balance at the local level where people that are in favor of it and have the ability to do that should be allowed to do that. And we got to choose wisely. We don't want to be putting a sand mine operation next to a school, for example. We want to keep it out in the more rural areas. And let's look at places where we have rail lines already. If we can reduce transportation costs and damage to our highways by using the rail system versus trucks hauling hundreds of loads a day on our highways, I think those are smart decisions we need to make, even at the local level. As far as state control, I would certainly rather not see any type of state control coming over top of our local control government, simply for the same reasons I stated earlier. Local control, those are the people that have to live with what's happening in that community. They should have the ability to make those decisions.
I want to follow up on that first with Mel, and then I'll go to Bill. What about environmental concerns? That was another thing that police powers have been used for in certain areas where you can actually, where local governments are kind of imposing their own DNR-type regulations. The bill authors and the industry has said that, you know, that's the state's job. So should a local town be able to use these police powers to, if they think it's necessary to create stronger environmental regulations of any sort than what the DNR has?
Well, it's important that we realize that these processing plants for the sand mining industry take water. They take groundwater.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where the DNR first gets involved, or one of the places where they first get involved, because they have to decide, make a decision, is there adequate groundwater available to operate these plants? And then along with that, local government can also use their ability to, you know, watch that and see the process move forward. But the DNR has that ability on high cap wells to either approve a permit or not approve it. And quite often we hear, even in some agriculture settings where people want the process to be sped up. They think it takes too long. I believe that it should take as long as necessary. You know, water is an important commodity for all of us, not just for the sand mining industry or agriculture. It's for water is important for all of us as people live in our communities.
Absolutely. Bill Engram, what about what do you think? Should local control extend to certain environmental protections?
Oh, absolutely. Like you mentioned, there are certain groups on certain boards that are adamantly opposed to it. I mean, we have groups around here where a group of people will decide they like to sit up on a bluff and they like the scenery or they like the bike trails in a certain area. And they move here for those reasons, and that's why they live there. Now, to say their rights don't count just because somebody's greased a few palms down in Madison and we got a big multinational corporation coming here where the owners don't even live in our area. They're just coming in here to take our natural resources and make a huge profit off of it. You know, we need to be able to stand up against this. And if it means going down to the township level, yes, that's where it needs to go.
All right, let's go to the phones. We've got a bunch of callers on the line. First, we're going to hear from Joan in Eau Claire. And Joan, you're on the air. Thanks for calling
in. Good morning to your guests. What would you do to unite our citizens after the divisiveness of this current administration has split our state? Also, do you believe in the value of public education? And what would you do to repair the damage done to our public educational system after this governor slashed funding to the Wisconsin public education system by $1.6 billion? Thank you.
Thanks so much, Joan. I think she's going to take the comments or the answers off air. You know, people have different views on the decisions that were made in Madison with regard to the Act 10 and all that, but do you think that there has been a divide that needs to be repaired, Mel Pittman, through that whole process? And what about the cuts that have been made to the public K-12 education?
Well, there have been. Many people see it as a big divide between those that are for and those that are against.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that. When we have people that come up or they believe they come up with less, they're going to be very much opposed to that. Teachers in particular, public union workers, for example, even at our county level, ended up with some of their benefits reduced. And so they are very much opposed to Act 10 and the premise of what all that involved. However, on the other side of the coin is it also saved quite a bit of money. Schools were able to bid out their health insurance to something other than WEA, insurance company,
mm-hmm.
and also at the county level, we were able to reduce our costs so that one of the big positives that they forget to remember is we were able to keep operating within the tax levy that we were allowed to raise and not lay off any employees at our county. And to me, that's big because the way the budgets were moving forward, employees would need to be reduced or something in order to stay within our budget.
Sure. Bill Engram, your thoughts on whatever divisiveness there has been since Act 10 was passed and the budget cuts to K-12.
Right. You know, there's people that's going to be upset anyway, but I think what Walker did was the right thing to do. And there's several things. One, the basic that for me was the fact that they took away that if you're not in the union, you still have to pay union dues. I mean, that was a biggie. That, you know, that's, you don't even have a choice. They just decide they're going to do whatever for you, and you have to pay the dues. There are some other things with the way the health insurance on the no-bid health insurance was paid for some of the stuff. And the thing you keep hearing is private schools. Well, private schools want all this money with no competition. That's why all these other charter schools, voucher schools, all these other things are competition. And these people that have been in the public school system forever don't like it because there's competition. But competition makes things better. So
I want to get to the school choice issue in just a bit, but first, playing off of the school funding, a lot of folks feel that the way the formula is written right now, this equalized aid formula that the state uses to fund public schools is broken, and Kathleen Vinehout herself has said that many times, has raised a lot of alarms. Bill, I'll start with you, and we'll go to Mel after that. Do you think the state's current school funding formula serves rural districts in the 31st district well?
No, I don't think so. I mean, whenever the government gets involved in something, it doesn't turn out well. I mean, we've seen that over and over, and it definitely needs to be looked at. I mean, you can't just say, okay, we want a little tweak here, we want a little tweak here. They need to get a group together from all across Wisconsin, whether it be the charter schools, vouchers, the whole works, public school, and come up with something that works better. But I'm going to say something here that I truly believe in. We don't send our kids to school to buy land, but yet property tax is a huge thing for paying for the schools, and it puts a tremendous burden on landowners, where people who don't earn land get kind of a free ride. We send our kids to school to get an income. I think we should do a little bit of adjusting on this and lower some property taxes, even if it means putting the shift over to the income tax. But that's what we're sending these kids to school for.
Hmm. Mel Pittman, your thoughts on whether or not the school funding formula serves the 31st state Senate district, which has a lot of rural districts.
It could be better. The school funding formula on a per-child basis could be better for the rural areas. But one of the bigger issues along with that is property valuations within our local communities. Senator Vinehalt talks about Pepin, for example, Pepin School District.
And property rich.
Property rich. And so I believe it's 17% is from school funding is on the per pupil basis. Mm-hmm. And the larger balance has to come from the property owners that live in the communities. And I would disagree with Bill in the sense that he mentioned the land base. The tax base for property taxes has shifted more to homes than on the current land, and in particular ag land. Property taxes on ag land have been, since use value assessment has been in place, has been quite a bit lower and has made it. It's been one of the best farmland preservation programs we have going on right now. But the homeowners are the ones that are paying the bulk of the taxes. Homeowner in Eau Claire here I visited with last week said that their property tax bill was almost $6,000. Well, I paid that much for a 240-acre farm. So they are paying their fair share within the people that live in the cities. It's the homeowners along with the farmers that are paying the property taxes.
Bill, you'd like to respond.
Yeah. That's kind of the point here. The homeowners here are taking a tremendous hit, and we're really losing our family farms in Wisconsin. They're becoming factory farms. They're corporations. They're businesses, but yet they still have the rights and a lot of the tax advantages of the farmers like Mel or my dad were. And they were the small farmers that really made this country. And they're businesses now. They got this huge equipment that's running up and down the highways that are tearing up the roads. The frac sand gets the hit for it. But these huge manure spreaders and all this machinery that's 20-some feet wide is tearing up these roads too. But these factory farms are getting the tax breaks, and all the rest of the residents are paying for it, and they're a corporation that's no different than Menards or Walmart or anything else like that. But because they're farmers, they're taking advantage of the blood and the sweat and tears of all the small mom-and-pop farms that made this country what it is.
With that, let's take our break. We've got candidates running in the 31st State Senate primary for a Republican primary to see who goes on to take on Democratic State Senator Kathleen Vinehout. The candidates are Mel Pittman, he's a dairy farmer in Plum City, and Bill Ingram is a retired a police sergeant, also Air Force veteran in Durand.
You're listening to this primary candidates forum for Wisconsin's 31st State Senate District on Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm John Gatto. The forum was recorded earlier this week in our Wisconsin Public Radio studios in Eau Claire. The primary election is next Tuesday, August 12th. The candidate with the most votes from that election will challenge incumbent Democratic Senator Kathleen Vinehout of Alma. She was first elected to the Wisconsin State Senate in 2006. We'll have more of the forum hosted by WPR's Rich Kramer and featuring Republican Mel Pittman of Plum City and Bill Ingram of Durand just ahead here on Newsmakers. To hear audio archives of today's show, visit our website, wpr.org/newsmakers. You'll also find links to the candidates' websites. That and more at wpr.org/newsmakers.